This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just stood straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It came to my head, too.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. And glad to be here with you on a Thursday morning, fresh off of a really sick three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. Padres lose 8-0 yesterday. And, you know, just get the sweep completed on them at home. Not our best day, not our best week, certainly. But we will be here for you for 4 or 5 hours today to talk Padres baseball for you. Quite the gauntlet, as it were. But really appreciate you guys watching this on YouTube. You're already in the chat talking ass. I love it. Not going to bother us today. What do you say? I mean, what do you say about this team right now? We will come up with some things, that's for sure. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, the gauntlet is upon us today.
I'm cracking my knuckles, just like ready to dive in and,
yeah,
you know, plow right through this. Yeah, 4 hours then, plus another hour with the round table. I'm good to go. I'm okay. We're going to make it through this, and we're going to have an interesting show, an interesting round table. And I assume there will be some emotions. There'll be some pain that we have to kind of suffer through, but we'll make it through on the other end.
Did you do you want to talk about your additional gauntlet today? Because I've got the full gauntlet as well. We do morning show, round table, and then I drive straight to marriage counseling.
Oh, that's a gauntlet.
It's a lot of me talking about my feelings. A lot. That's a gauntlet.
My gauntlet is similar. Except after the roundtable, I'm not going to marriage counseling. I'm going to be a guest on Foul Territory with AJ Pruszynski and Trevor May today.
So good. I love
talking a little Padres
MLB
baseball.
Network.
Yeah. The big guy on MLB Network.
Get really
all
up to varsity over
out
here.
Of the blue. I had just done my 6 o'clock sportscast last night.
Yep.
I got a text from Mark. I assume Mark got my number from some sort of guide.
Are you in a guide?
Media guide somewhere.
Okay.
I guess
two.
guess it's still, yeah, Woods is in there as well. So
I don't want to be in there. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Hi, Ben. Are you available to join Foul Territory tomorrow at 11:20 a.m. Pacific time? We've got AJ Pruszynski, Trevor May hosting. Mark.
The so Mark sick. Now, we've talked to Trevor May on this program before. He was great. He does a blog, and is he still doing the blog? I was getting updates. I don't think I've gotten any updates from him recently, but he's really, really cool, really funny dude. He gets it, you know.
Fun,
Pruszynski,
smart.
I've never been the world's biggest fan of at all, but it's all right, man. They called the big guy up, and they want to talk Padres baseball. I'm so glad. That's so cool, dude. MLB Network.
Yeah, I mean.
That's badass.
It's exciting. I think, for me, it would have been better. Padres are on a hot streak.
Yeah,
let's talk
yeah.
about how well this team is playing. I don't know that I'm the best choice to talk about a team that is struggling the last few days. I don't even know if that's what they really want to talk about, or if they're more like, hey, Padres are playing well. Let's pick someone later in the week to talk Padres baseball, and it just kind of flipped on them because that's how baseball works. Things can flip on you rather quickly over the course of a couple of days.
Why is this guy all sunshine and rainbows?
All right, I have a proposal for you. Give me your glasses. I'll give you mine. You go to my marriage counseling. I'll jump on with Trevor May and AJ Pruszynski, and you go sit in there and talk about your feelings. And whatnot, and why you're a terrible communicator.
Would you want me to talk with Hannah, or should I bring Shelly?
No, you go as me.
Yes.
You're my proxy.
Yeah, but
you go and talk about what Hannah does that bothers you.
I assume you.
Yes.
Okay.
No, yeah. You're my proxy.
I'm totally you, so I'm just acting as though I'm you.
And you sit in there and say, you know, whatever it is that is bothering me. And I'll get on there and go, these guys are terrible. They got no heart. They're gutless. You know, the managers and all the stuff that they want to hear. You go sit in there. Now, you do have, there's a book that she gave us to read. It's called Hold Me Tight. And it's a decent read, right? But we discussed that book. But the assignments have been like, all right, read part one. Part one's like 114 pages. And I'm like, lady, I got two kids. I got two small kids that need constant care. I'm coaching. I got a morning show. I got to watch games. I don't have the time to read 114 pages.
We come here so you fix us in the hour that we talk to you, not so we can go home and do a bunch of homework.
That's the thing. It's like, did I sign up for a summer reading course?
That's like going to a golf lesson, though, and expecting to be better instantly when it's over. That's not how it works. Like, you go to a lesson, they tell you what to work on, what to practice. And then if you actually put in the work, you'll be better a week later when you come back for your next lesson. But if you just go to the lesson and then you don't work on it at the range or anything, when you come back to the lesson next week, you're going to be just as bad or worse than you were before.
So rather than couples therapy or marriage counseling, it should be called couples lessons?
Couples lessons. And then
how about the book report?
You practice,
the couple's book report.
You practice during the week, and then you come back, and hopefully you've made some progress.
Sailor Liver says, Woods' favorite books are coloring books. Buddy, I was an English major. I've read more books, and I love to read. What I don't want to read is, I don't really like the self-help books. And again, I'm reading in this book about, I'm not joking when I say this. The Office fans out there will understand it. In part two, I start reading about a couple named Pam and Jim. I'm not joking. I'm reading this going, are they doing a bit on me? Pam says that blah, blah, blah. And Jim just can't get it together. And I'm dying going, I walked out. I go, did you see it's Jim and Pam? And Hannah started laughing. So
what happens, though, if you go to marriage counseling and, like, if I'm in for you and I go, I'm perfectly happy with everything that's happening right now. Would it just be over, or would then Hannah just have all the time in the world to say what's
wrong? You're
going to
give her the whole 50 minutes to rip me.
Yeah.
No, you got to work. You got to work through it in there. But it is. You do the roundtable. You get done. Then you got to drive to Encinitas, and then you walk in, and you're like, God, I'm tired of talking. I really just am tired and tired, and I'm so tired of talking. But Hannah's not a good reader, so she's been listening to it on tape. While she tries to work out in the morning, and she's listening to, Jim says Pam never listens, and Pam says Jim's insane. And so she's like trying to run on the treadmill.
So you got marriage counseling today after the round table, but if that wasn't happening, would you be jealous of Ben?
No, hell no, dude, because I wouldn't want that. You're the polished pro. I don't get, you guys know this, I don't get jealous. I don't get envious. I'm happy because I think ultimately that's good for us. If Ben's on there, that's good for us. Ben from Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I'll admit, when I saw that text, my
Woods
first...
Woods from Ben and Woods is also beneficial to us if he's
on
the show.
Yeah, but he's the better choice. I also know that. He's the better choice.
I don't know that's true. You're very entertaining. You would have done a great job. My first instinct, though, was to say no. I don't want to do that. That's a very long morning.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, did...
That's MLB Network,
I know,
bro.
I know. And but my first instinct was they don't need me. They probably should have asked Woods. And then I thought, all right, I'm not going to... You know who you should really ask? I don't want to be that guy that tries to program their show for them.
Right.
And then I thought, this would be stupid if I said no.
I am
available. It's right after the round table. I can just stay here, set it up. I can be on. It's fine. So I said, yeah, I will absolutely do that. So
I think that's so badass.
It's good for the show. Good promotion. We're always looking for streamers. Maybe someone will pick us up across the country.
And Rafa says, you know they're going to announce him as Ben from 10 News San Diego. Yeah. Now that will piss me off. I will tell you that right now.
Will you wear a Ben and Woods shirt?
Oh.
A t-shirt?
Yes. Yeah, you probably can't wear a t-shirt. They do, though. They wear. It's very like, hey, my hat's on backwards. We can do what we want. Right.
How are you going to brand yourself, Ben? Let's get to that.
It's a good question.
We have extra Ben and Wood shirts here.
We do.
Now, I do think they're all do the show bitch, so I don't know that you
can
wear that.
I don't think I should wear that.
I bet we have a
network
one that I like.
We have that one?
I think so.
Oh, that would be epic. He's branding his own bit. That would be so good. No, I'm so excited.
Ben doesn't buy merch from our own
merch store. That's true.
I was like, what, you don't have a t-shirt?
I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for us, because that's good. And now, listen, you know how my mind works. It's content. Like, tomorrow, we get to play that.
No game today. I'm like, we are playing that whole MFing thing.
I can't wait. I'm happy for you.
Coming up at 6:35, the Ben appears on Foul Territory Wrap-Up, brought to you by Hamul Casino.
That's exactly right, dude. That's exactly right. No, I'm very excited for you, and that's a cool thing. I remember once I got asked to do, it's when the Padres had beaten the Dodgers. And our buddy John Marks called me, and we were on our way to play the Phillies, and John Marks was in Philly. And he called me, and he's like, hey, man, can you jump on after? It was right after we won that thing. And I go, yeah, dude, I can jump on. It was like midnight in Philly or something, or 1 in the morning. And I remember pacing around my kitchen, be like, all right, bro, you're about to be on Philly Sports Radio. You got to bring the heat. I was nervous as hell. So you're the right choice for this, man, and I'm excited.
Bad Boy Ben wears his... Do the show, bitch, and Ass Pro Shops hats on MLB Network.
Oh, my God.
The Ass Pro Shop hat.
And the gold chain.
And the gold chain would be so
I've got my explicit hat still out in the car.
Yeah,
I could bring that one out.
I love that he keeps it in the car.
Hannah says wear the gimp mask.
Wear the mask! I mean, hey, listen, the gimp mask is a bit, it's like kind of, it's not a torture device, but it is in that vein.
Sensory deprivation.
Sensory deprivation. And I would say right now, if you're a San Diego Padres fan, you're in the torture chamber. Firmly. You're firmly, firmly implanted in the torture chamber. We're all in that thing with our hand, the stock. Where our hands are through
the head. Head in the middle hole.
And we're just hanging there. That's where we all are. You just got swept by the Rockies.
Local children pelt eggs at us or something. Well,
we're in the stocks. Dude, just all everyone. You should do stock night out at Gallagher Square. Come take your picture in the stocks. That's where we are. You just got swept by the Rockies, man. By the Rockies. They got you in your house. So, yeah, not a lot to say really about yesterday's game, but I do want to, and I tweeted this last night, and you can believe me or not, I don't care. I had to go coach T-ball last night. So I had to go school pickup, or Hannah picked him up, came home, we went straight to the field at 3:15. So game wasn't even over yet when I left, but it was 7-0. I was like, well, how much worse can it get? Got one more run worse. So we go, we have a great time, great game. Kids played hard, so much fun. Hung out for a long time afterwards. The kids had they had won a Chick-fil-A party, so somebody brought Chick-fil-A and they just crushed chicken sandwiches and nuggets and ice cream. I didn't touch one thing. Yeah, I was not hungry. I just wasn't feeling hungry. So I watched them eat. We hung out, went home, and I opened Twitter and my texts for the first time, like 50 texts, and I had my mentions went nuts. I'm like, what the hell happened? And like, oh my God, Schiltz presser, Schiltz presser, Schiltz presser. And I go, what? So I immediately texted you guys.
Hey, my dudes, how you doing?
Who had texted me and said, we need something funny tomorrow. And I said, well, I haven't heard the Schiltz presser yet. And I'm not going to. So let me just react live. And Paulie goes, perfect. That'll be great. So I haven't heard it. I heard it was terrible. I can't wait to hear it, react in real time. We're not going to play clips, right? We're just going to play the
thing.
I'm
going to play the whole
thing. It'll be like our Bob Dylan day when we played Bob Dylan's Murder Most Foul in its entirety.
Don't go into it with a preconceived notion.
Well, it's hard not to. I saw so many tweets about it.
It certainly is something that inspired a lot of opinions and discussions.
It's 11 and a half minutes. Among Padres fans. The whole thing.
Yeah, done. We got nothing else to do. Got nothing else to do.
For sure. Padres wrap up, but do you guys really want to hear how
I have no
all
interest,
eight runs?
I have no interest in reliving that game.
Are they sponsored?
Why, yes. I mean, you know, Padres wrap up, of course, sponsored by Humboldt Casino with thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards. Humboldt Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Humboldt Casino, fun above all else.
There it is. I have no desire in playing a wrap up of an 8-0 drubbing at the hands of the Colorado Rockies.
We don't learn much from that.
Not a damn thing. I mean, I watched most of the game, and then I had to leave. But what I saw was ugly as hell.
Yeah.
Ugly as hell. So we'll talk about that. And Benny will set the menu for us next.
There you go.
We did get a chance to sit down with Dylan Cease, which was cool. I saw Jake Cronenworth bare butt yesterday. Bare. As the day he was born.
I missed that whole thing.
You did?
Yeah. What were you doing?
Well, I was over
Paul
there.
Paul and I were talking
with other
people. I was over
there talking to him. I saw it. I didn't take any pictures or anything. I did see his butt.
You're weird. All right. We will get started. It is it's a Thursday. It's a roundtable Thursday. We will be back after a check of traffic with Kelly Danick, Ben Woods, Paul with you on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Woods mentioned he's an English major in the first segment. And today's theme of the roundtable, at least, we can get into it as well, was a quote you said yesterday that kind of stuck with me all day long. That usually doesn't happen for me, but Woods was quoting Kierkegaard,
yeah.
Soren Kierkegaard.
Yep.
And you said...
A Danish philosopher.
Life can only be understood backwards.
Yep.
But it must be lived forwards.
Correct. God, it's brilliant.
And it kind of got in my head. It was very... I think it was very appropriate to following a baseball team as well.
It's so important in life. It's so important in baseball. And I read it. I was reading some the other night. And I thought to myself, wow, this is like... It's pretty deep you know, when you think about it, in relationships, in friendships, in business. I mean, really, truly, read it one more time.
Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards.
That's it. Right there. So I think it's a really good way to look at a baseball season.
I think you can. I think there's a lot there as well that you can look at that and say, well, perspective is important. That you can only get through experience through going through, you know, successes and failures by living through it and then looking backwards. But it doesn't necessarily always help you going forwards, because every new situation you face is going to be a little bit different. So. You can also, you know, describe that live in the moment, you know, take each day as it comes, because you can only live forwards. There's a lot of different ways I think you can look at that statement.
Yeah, for me, what I did was like, don't look back and wish you could change anything, but use everything that's happened before to either grow and make sure you don't make the same mistakes, right? And so that's kind of – it really makes sense and hits in the baseball season, right? And if you're a manager, certainly.
So here's where I'm getting to. My question that I'm going to ask everyone in the roundtable, and I'll ask you now. When we look backwards to understand the Padres 2024 season, months from now, however it turns out, will this Rockies series and sweep be a pivotal – and defining moment, or will it be more of a blip during an otherwise strong time of play for the Padres, you know, offense and defense, in which, oh, that was funny, you know, you're playing really well in May, and then they had that one bad series against the Rockies. Turned out it didn't mean anything. Or will we look back and go, we should have seen the signs coming? As we look backwards and saw that Rockies series, that really was a pivotal defining moment for the 2024 Padres.
You know, there's only one group that falls on. There's only one group that can answer that, and that's the San Diego Padres 26-man roster. I heard Craig say, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, you can't make the playoffs if you lose to the Colorado Rockies. And I get what he's trying to say, because I kind of said the same thing. Like, you need to win these games. That being said, you absolutely can make the playoffs. You absolutely can make the playoffs losing, getting swept by the Rockies. It's absolutely possible that you do that. And like you just said, the blip on the radar. There's only 26 guys that can answer that question. It's up to them now. And again, I like the metaphor of the hole that you've dug. You can dig yourself out of a hole, absolutely. But the deeper and deeper it gets, the harder it gets. So they've made things so much harder on themselves this season than they've needed to. They really have. And again, 2 of 3 would have been great. Hell, yes, winning one yesterday, as much as it would have been frustrating, you almost had to have that one yesterday. But you know what, man? There's a buttload of games left, but it's on them to dig themselves out. So I don't know that you can answer that question today. I hope to God we're not looking back and going, friggin' Rocky series cost us a playoff spot.
And in reality, they could have built themselves a nice hill as opposed to digging themselves a hole. They haven't really dug any hole that they have to climb out of, but they could have built themselves a nice little hill.
That's true.
They could be up there with the, you know, leaders in the National League. They could clearly have separated themselves from some of the other teams in the National League with some good play, especially against the Rockies this series. But instead, they've left themselves just in a big pile with every other team, with the Diamondbacks, with the Giants, with the Reds, with the Pirates, with the Nationals, with all the other also-rans who are currently thinking, yeah, we've got a long way to go. If we start playing well now, there's plenty of time left to turn it around. But now the Padres are just one of those teams. You'd much rather be the Cubs or the Phillies or the Braves and go, all right, we've really got ourselves off to a nice start. We can weather a bad week or two in the future because we've played so well early in the season. Padres definitely are not one of those teams with what they've done, 2 games under .500 at this point.
And now, though, what you have a fan base that's questioning your heart. They're questioning your care. They're questioning themselves for going out and shelling out money to go to games. I saw a lot of that, man. I paid this or I paid this to go out and watch this team win. Now, you're not guaranteed to win, but you should be guaranteed some effort. You should be guaranteed some effort, you know. And when you get just rocked by the Rockies for 3 games in a row, then they never led in that series. Never. They never led a game. That's you cannot have that. And so now hold, separate, all that stuff's great. But when you have apathy setting in, when you have the fan base looking at the teams, asking them, hey, has apathy set in for you guys in mid-May? Because if it has, that's a problem.
Here's a question. This homestand that was just completed, if the Padres had been swept by the Dodgers and then took 2 of 3 from the Rockies, would we feel any different? Because the record would be exactly the
same. That's a good question.
Feel any different about this team at all? Would we feel better? Would we feel worse?
No, I think we'd feel better. And you know why? Because we beat the team we were supposed to beat.
I was thinking the same thing.
Is it not better to show that you can beat the best teams?
Going into that homestand, what's more likely? Getting swept by the Dodgers or getting swept by the Rockies?
It's much more likely to get swept by the Dodgers and then take 2 of 3 from the Rockies.
You accept that, I guess. Or at least you accept that easier.
But in a way, isn't it better to show you can play really well against the Dodgers?
It's one way to look at it.
And then you can just kind of erase in your mind a bad series against the Rockies? Like, we know we can beat the Rockies. We didn't, but we... But theoretically, no, we can't, because we've beaten much better teams. We've beaten the Cubs, we've beaten the Dodgers, we've beaten the Brewers, we've beaten the Reds. We can beat teams that we know are better than the Rockies.
I think that's
why can't we beat the Rockies?
But yeah, I think the point is, we beat the Dodgers, we should kick the crap out of the Rockies. And clearly, baseball does not work that way. I would like to go back. I should have done this last night, but it was coaching T-ball is very tiring. I want to go back and look at the last 10 World Series winners and look for some anomalies and weird things that happened in there.
They'll
all have those weird, like, we got swept by the awful Royals at the time. No offense to Kathy. She's a big Royals fan. She gets mad at me every time we talk bad about the Royals. I'm just using them as an example. There have been a lot of teams. Hell, the Padres could be one of those teams that a World Series team got swept by on their way to a championship.
Yeah. I don't think we're arguing that we think this Padres team's currently a World Series favorite.
Not at all. Not at all. But I think that you will find those awful stretches
all
in every...
All 30 teams have them.
Yeah,
they all have them. The Dodgers have already been swept by the Nationals this year. Don't think that their season's over, of course. But, you know, the odds are that when you lose more games to bad teams, that you are a bad team. You're definitely adding to the evidence, the pile of evidence that you're not a good team.
Correct.
Padres added a whole big pile of evidence last 3 days that they're not that good of a team. They also, and Mike Shildt, I think, when we play the audio next, you're going to hear him go, we've also added a nice big pile of evidence that we are a pretty good team with the series that we played before that. And if you're simply dismissing those series and only focusing on the Rockies, then you're kind of making Mike Shildt's point.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Every series is important. Every series is equal. You can't simply say the only one that matters are the last 3 games against the Rockies, and that means this is the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
You also can't completely ignore them, which I think is what is frustrating people. Like, Mike Shildt would love to just throw that one right out the window and move on. And as a team, they kind of have to.
Sure.
But as fans, we can include that is part of our analysis now of who the San Diego Padres are. And they are a team that is now capable of getting swept at home by the Colorado Rockies. That's not a good thing. We can also, though, fairly say they're a team that's capable of taking 5 out of 8 from the Dodgers so far, of winning series against, you know, consistently winning series against playoff contenders. Those are all data points now that we have to evaluate the San Diego Padres. We're going to do that. Woodsy, I'm very excited about getting the raw reaction from Woods to a press conference that even I sat up and took some notice. Like, all right, he is digging in on his points that aren't necessarily wrong, but they're not going to please people. They weren't fan servicey points. They were definitely, let's just sweep this one under the rug and minimize it as much as possible. We'll get into that coming up next. It is a Throwback Thursday. Paulie's found one of our oldest clips that he has in our archives.
Like it.
From our first weeks of our show. Play that at 7 before a little real or fake. Chance to qualify for Las Vegas today. Don't do this. We have our Dylan Cease interview that we went down and recorded before the game yesterday. It was nice to get to meet him for the first time, really.
Nice fella.
After we missed him at spring training. Obviously, he wasn't there yet when we arrived. So it was good to get to talk to Dylan Cease. We'll have that in our 7:30 segment. It is at Eno Saris Thursday. Our Smart Baseball interview comes up at 8:35 this morning. Ryan will report, and then we will get into the roundtable at 10 o'clock this morning. So a very busy morning of 97.3 The Fan activity and Padres talk coming up. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and Woodsy will get to hear the entire magnum opus of post-game Mike Schilt press conference from yesterday next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, Bennett Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We're going to bring you some audio from the postgame. We're not playing the highlights or lowlights of the game yesterday. There really were almost no highlights. Four singles on offense. Nothing really good happened in the game yesterday.
No. But if we did play you those highlights, they'd be brought to you by Humboldt Casino.
Thank you, Paulie.
Fun above all else.
That's right. If you want a brief, just my own brief take quickly. I thought Michael King's comments after the game about how he was a little slow to adjust and realize the Rockies were trying to attack every first pitch. When he faced the Dodgers, and he was so good on Friday, Dodgers, very patient, got ahead, 0-1, 0-1, was throwing strikes early in the count. The Rockies, to their credit, they go, you see what he did to the Dodgers? He was getting ahead of everybody. We're swinging first pitch. And when Ruben Niebla came out, I think, to visit in the third inning, Michael said, Ruben told me, they're swinging at like an unbelievable rate. They're swinging at so many pitches. So you got to now treat 0-0 like it's 0-2. Like, you know, nibble a little bit off the zone, get him to swing. And after that, he actually pitched quite well going forward, but he was too late to make the adjustment. They were already down 5-0 at that point because he was trying to get ahead. And as he admitted, his breaking ball was not as sharp as it was against the Dodgers. Other pitches were good.
I saw a couple sinkers that
they
were
good,
moving, yeah.
But he was trying to get that first strike in there like he was against the Dodgers. So, yeah. All right, we're going to check traffic, and then we'll hear what Mike Schilt had to say and get Woodsy's raw first-time reaction to it right after traffic here
unfiltered
on 97.3 The Fan.
And you can just tell from the very beginning he had really good rhythm. He was able to throw all his pitches for quality strikes.
This is Gomber.
You know, controlled counts. He was putting the ball where he wanted to, and I thought he threw the ball very well and did a nice job when they were able to get the lead to keep us at bay. So, you know, give him credit.
You say they just beat you, but, I mean, this is a team that took two or three from the Dodgers over the weekend. Like, what does it say about the group that you weren't able to at least pull one out today?
I think I just explained it. I don't know how much more to explain it. I mean, I don't know what you want me to how you want me to answer that. We won four series in a row, and we just came in. We walked four guys in three games, and this team swung the bats and found holes and hit some homers. You know, and I don't know what else to tell you.
How do you keep it, Mike, from going from being outplayed for 3 days to it becoming four and so on?
Well, again, I'm going to take exception with the word outplayed. We lost three games. And I'm going to repeat it because I think it clearly needs to be repeated. Look, I'm not defending the fact we lost three games. I'm not even alibiing that for a second. I own that. I'll take the responsibility if you want. But I can sit here and it's a different answer to your questions of the game of baseball. We lost three games. And then we lost three games by beating ourselves and getting outplayed. Now, they played very well, okay? They did. But you look at some of the things that determine how you play and whether you beat yourself, the things that I've been following this thing for 30 years.
Oh, boy.
It just didn't work out for us for 3 days. I can't explain that.
Pause.
Am I happy about it? Is that clubhouse happy about it? Are we going to alibi anything? No, we're not going to.
Pause. How do you watch how you pitched, how you didn't hit, how you missed bases, like on tag-ups and stuff, and say you didn't get outplayed? I'll say this, too. I feel like we got out-strategized like crazy. I mean, we all heard about how Cal Quantrill completely changed the way he was going to pitch. We just heard how the Rockies changed their approach against Michael King. I think we got out strategized for three games in a row by Bud Black and the Colorado Rockies. They came in and they had a plan based on tendencies that you've exhibited. And they said, let's flip what we've been doing to then see if we can put some pressure on you. They stole bags off you at will. You had terrible base running in this series. I mean, a perfect example. You had your superstars like Manny. Didn't show up at all. I mean, at all. Like one hit. that you got outplayed, man. It's okay to say it, too. Like, I think it's very okay to say we got outplayed. We sucked. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mike Schilt doesn't seem to think it's okay to say that.
I don't know why. I'd be the first person to tell you, I sucked today. I was terrible. I apologize. I'll be better tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
Now, there are games in baseball where you play fine.
Right, and they didn't, though.
And you lose.
I thought
the first two games of the series were kind of, yeah, they played well enough to win. They didn't get the holes. They hit a lot of line drives at people. Yesterday was awful. Yesterday was a terrible game.
The first two games, though, they were playing from behind from the get-go. And it's because they didn't execute in situations where you could have driven in runs, you know, productive outs, things like that. Ran the bases better.
The thing that the Padres have done, I mean, really, the thing that they really do badly, because they make contact at the plate, they don't strike out a lot, but when they're playing poorly, they're just not making solid contact. They're not, you know, they're not hitting well. And I get when Mike Schilt says that is going to happen in baseball. You're going to take a good swing.
Yes.
Manny's going to hit one. You can't just live by the results every day of where that baseball is flying off the bat and landing on the field. And in some ways, part of the Rockies series did have a lot of that, where soft hit balls by the Rockies were landing in, hard hit balls by the Padres were not. So that to me is fair. But, you know.
But that can't be the excuse for getting swept to the right. Well, we hit some balls hard, right at guys.
Okay, he'll address some of it. The reporters will continue to press him.
No, we're not going to alibi anything. But I'm also going to look at this thing rationally and go, okay, how did you win four series in a row? And you do some of the very exact same things. You don't give anything away. You don't walk anybody. You play clean defense. You know, you compete well. You have good at bats. And the guy threw well today. Like, we've had some good pitching in the past. Sometimes you tip your hat. Came up short 2 days in a row.
Oh, I did.
So I do appreciate that we didn't lose, but I will have to, and not even blindly, because people, I think, can accuse me of that, defend what we're doing. But, you know, they played good baseball. You know, they found some holes. I think I've attempted to clear up the distinction of what just happened here, because there's not an overreaction for me moving forward. Now, if we're throwing the balls all over the place and hitting guys and walking guys and, you know, not hitting balls in a barrel and not having an approach, yeah, you'd hear something different out of my mouth, but that wasn't the case for me.
And not to overplay either one of them, but early in yesterday's game and early in today's game, when maybe it could have affected something, Jurickson ran into an out. Today, Toddy had an out where that could have been prevented. Mm-hmm. Those aren't clean, and so I wonder, did you just feel like they didn't?
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, if you want to go back to the series for the first and third, we showed highlights today of the three positive baseball plays that were first and thirds. Had them edited for our ball talk. You know, Jackson stole a bag, we could double steal the first night. And I bring all those things up again, not to alibi, but yes. Jackson got thrown out of second base yesterday. He did. And we'd preferred it not to have happened.
That's the hardest he's been.
Toddy missed retouching the base. That's clear, and I can't alibi that either. Did it impact all three games? I didn't think so. I think your point is we didn't play perfectly clean, and that's accurate.
Is something that can be improved is the consistency of, because you guys have played these excellent stretches, be that one game, be that three games, whatever, and then be that situational hitting, because that wasn't great this series. Can your guys' consistency be better?
Again, it's interesting that we don't talk about the consistency when we win four series in a row for the first time in 3 years.
But we do. Stop. Stop. We absolutely do. We absolutely do. Kevin does. I do. You do. Paulie does. Ello does. Tony Gwynn Jr. does. Jesse Agler does. Mudd does. We do. But no one is infallible to criticism, especially after, you know, you just got bodied. You had 27 innings in which you never led. Is that a fact? Is that right?
Yes.
You never led. You never led.
Against a team that opened the year on a major league record streak of never leading in a game for, what, 27 straight games, that they didn't have a single lead in any of those games or something?
For me, it's like,
or they trailed at least at one time in all of those games, but they never trailed against the Padres.
We talk about how it's easier for the players to flush a game or a series and move on to the next. They have to. And we've heard that from players.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's how it works. And it's a lot easier for them to do it than us as fans.
Yeah.
But this doesn't sound like they're flushing. It sounds like they only flush it when it's bad. When it's good, it's like, we can't just keep going back to we won four series in a row.
It's a great point. Like,
well, it's okay, that was great then. It's bad now.
Like me telling my wife. But I took the garbage out in March, like a few times.
Right.
She's like, where was April? Where was May? Where you been?
What are you doing for me now?
Where is it? But I did. You don't remember?
We don't talk about when I took the garbage out 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, never want to bring that up. I remember that one time I did the dishes. Remember that? It's just that to me is a little bit of blind optimism. And I'll say this: this is a somewhat spicy take. Toxic positivity is still toxic, just like toxic negativity. I've got people on my timeline that are literally, like, they may be fine humans, but it's the most toxic BS I read every single day about every single play. But the toxic positivity is still toxic. That to me, when I hear this, it makes my eyes glaze over, and I go, are we watching the same thing? You know, because you can't tell me that the sky's blue, that it's not blue, and I'm looking at it going, it's blue. We got outplayed. It's okay to say that. No, I feel like, fans in general always want the truth. They don't really want to be bright-sided in that scenario.
I think, just my opinion, that Mike Shildt, and there are unreasonable baseball fans out there. You know,
there absolutely are.
And there are some of them in this audience right now.
They're all in my DMs and
who can't stand, you know, even the thought of one loss is like too much to bear.
End of the world.
And that's not how baseball works. But I think Mike Shildt needs to address. He needs to treat us all like we're adults and grown-ups.
That's it, right?
Even
there.
If some of us aren't, he needs to treat us all like we are. And we understand that they won four straight series, and they've played some good baseball this year.
We talked and celebrated every single guttural scream every time you win a game.
I think in return, we also have to accept the fact that players can be trying, and, you know, it doesn't work out sometimes. Doesn't mean that you're a big... You're a big nobody if you go 0-for-4 in a game and ground into four, you know, two double plays.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean Manny has forgotten how to play baseball.
Correct.
Or he's not grinding to try to figure it out. We have to also accept that as fans and be reasonable about things.
But
then on the other hand, I think the team and the manager needs to treat us fans as though we do understand the difference between good play
and bad play
and not good play.
Well, and Paulie, that really, Paulie, is a very, very astute point you make. You just want us to flush the bad ones. No, you want us to not flush the good ones, because
right.
they're done. Those wins, you've stacked a few wins, sure. And there are times I watch this team and go, we're lucky to win this many games. Then there's times I watch this team and I go, we should be winning a lot more games because you're so inconsistent.
We've got a little bit more for you when we come back.
Yeah, we got a lot more.
We'll play a little real or fake as well when we come back to start hour number two of Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. Listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We're going to bring you some audio from the post game. We're not playing the highlights or lowlights of the game yesterday. They really were almost no highlights. Four singles on offense. Nothing really good happened in the game yesterday.
No.
But if we did play you those highlights, they'd be brought to you by Humul Casino.
Thank you, Paulie.
Fun above all else.
That's right.
If you want my own brief take quickly. I thought Michael King's comments after the game about how he was a little slow to adjust and realize the Rockies were trying to attack every first pitch. When he faced the Dodgers, and he was so good on Friday, Dodgers, very patient, got ahead, 0-1, was throwing strikes early in the count. The Rockies, to their credit, they go, You see what he did to the Dodgers? He was getting ahead of everybody. We're swinging first pitch. And when Ruben Niebla came out, I think, to visit in the third inning, Ruben told me, they're swinging at like an unbelievable rate. They're swinging at so many pitches. So you got to now treat 0-0 like it's 0-2. Like, you know, nibble a little bit off the zone, get him to swing. And after that, he actually pitched quite well going forward, but he was too late to make the adjustment. They were already down 5-0 at that point because he was trying to get ahead. And as he admitted, his breaking ball was not as sharp as it was against the Dodgers. Other pitches were good.
I saw a couple sinkers that
were
good,
but he was trying to get that first strike in there like he was against the Dodgers. So, all right, we're going to check traffic, and then we'll hear what Mike Schilt had to say and get Woodsy's raw first-time reaction to it right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And you can just tell from the very beginning he had really good rhythm. He was able to throw all his pitches for quality strikes.
This is Domber.
You know, controlled counts. He was putting the ball where he wanted to, and I thought he threw the ball very well and did a nice job when they were able to get the lead to keep us at bay. So, you know, give him credit.
You say they just beat you, but, I mean, this is a team that took two or three from the Dodgers over the weekend. Like, what does it say about the group that you weren't able to at least pull one out today?
I think I just explained it. I don't know how much more to explain it. I mean, I don't know what you want me to answer that. We won four series in a row, and we just came in. We walked four guys in three games, and this team swung the bats and found holes and hit some homers. You know, and I don't know what else to tell you.
How do you keep it, Mike, from going from being outplayed for 3 days to it becoming four and so on?
Well, again, I'm going to take exception with the word outplayed. We lost three games. And I'm going to repeat it because I think it clearly needs to be repeated. Look, I'm not defending the fact we lost three games. I'm not even alibiing that for a second. I own that. I'll take the responsibility if you want. But I can sit here and it's a different answer to your questions of the game of baseball. We lost three games. And then we lost three games by beating ourselves and getting outplayed. Now, they played very well, okay? They did. But you look at some of the things that determine how you play and whether you beat yourself, the things that I've been following this thing for 30 years.
Oh, boy.
It just didn't work out for us for 3 days. I can't explain that.
Pause.
Am I happy about it? Is that clubhouse happy about it? Are we going to alibi anything? No, we're not going to.
Pause. How do you watch how you pitched, how you didn't hit, how you missed bases, like on tag ups and stuff, and say you didn't get outplayed? I'll say this too. I feel like we got out strategized like crazy. I mean, we all heard about how Cal Quantrill completely changed the way he was going to pitch. We just heard how the Rockies changed their approach against Michael King. I think we got out-strategized for three games in a row by Bud Black and the Colorado Rockies. They came in and they had a plan based on tendencies that you've exhibited. And they said, let's flip what we've been doing to then see if we can put some pressure on you. They stole bags off you at will. You had terrible base running in this series. I mean, a perfect example. You had your superstars like Manny. Didn't show up at all. I mean, at all. Like one hit that you got outplayed, man. It's okay to say it too. Like, I think it's very okay to say we got outplayed. We sucked. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mike Schilt doesn't seem to think it's okay to say that.
I don't know why. I'd be the first person to tell you, I sucked today. I was terrible. I apologize. I'll be better tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
Now, there are games in baseball where you play fine.
Right, and they didn't, though.
And you lose.
They
I
did
thought
not.
The first two games of the series were kind of, yeah, they played well enough to win. They didn't get the holes. They hit a lot of line drives at people. Yesterday was awful. Yesterday was a terrible game.
The first two games, though, they were playing from behind from the get-go. And it's because they didn't execute in situations where you could have driven in runs, you know, productive outs, things like that. Ran the bases better.
The thing that the Padres have done, I mean, really, the thing that they really do badly, because they make contact at the plate, they don't strike out a lot, but when they're playing poorly, they're just not making solid contact. They're not, you know, they're not hitting well. And I get when Mike Schilt says that is going to happen in baseball. You're going to take a good swing.
Yes.
Manny's going to hit one. You can't just live by the results every day of where that baseball is flying off the bat and landing on the field. And in some ways, part of the Rockies series did have a lot of that, where soft hit balls by the Rockies were landing in, hard hit balls by the Padres were not. So that to me is fair. But, you know.
But that can't be the excuse for getting swept to the Rockies. Well, we hit some balls hard, but it's right at guys.
Okay, he'll address some of it. The reporters will continue to press him.
No, we're not going to alibi anything. But I'm also going to look at this thing rationally and go, okay, how did you win four series in a row? And you do some of the very exact same things. You don't give anything away. You don't walk anybody. You play clean defense. You compete well. You have good at-bats. And the guy threw well today. Like, we've had some good pitching in the past. Sometimes you tip your hat. Came up short 2 days in a row.
Oh, I did.
So I do appreciate that we didn't lose, but I will have to, and not even blindly, because people, I think, can accuse me of that, defend what we're doing. But, you know, they played good baseball. You know, they found some holes. But I think I've attempted to clear up the distinction of what just happened here, because there's not an overreaction for me moving forward. Now, if we're throwing the balls all over the place and hitting guys and walking guys and, you know, not hitting balls in a barrel and not having an approach, yeah, you'd hear something different out of my mouth, but that wasn't the case for me.
And not to overplay either one of them, but early in yesterday's game and early in today's game, when maybe it could have affected something, Jurickson ran into an out. Today, Toddy had an out where that could have been prevented. Mm-hmm. Those aren't clean. And so I wonder, did you just feel like they didn't?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to go back to the series for the first and third, we showed highlights today of the three positive baseball plays that were first and thirds, had them edited for our ball talk. Jackson stole a bag, we could double steal the first night. And I bring all those things up, again, not to alibi, but yes, Jackson got thrown out of second base yesterday. He did. And we'd preferred it not to have happened.
That's the hardest he's been on.
Toddy missed retouching the base. That's clear, and I can't alibi that either. Did it impact all three games? I didn't think so. I think your point is we didn't play perfectly clean, and that's accurate.
Is something that can be improved is the consistency of, because you guys have played these excellent stretches, be that one game, be that three games, whatever, and then be that situational hitting, because that wasn't great this series. Can your guys' consistency be better?
Again, it's interesting that we don't talk about the consistency when we win four series in a row for the first time in 3 years.
But we do. Stop. Again, stop. We absolutely do. We absolutely do. Kevin does. I do. You do. Paulie does. Ello does. Tony Gwynn Jr. does. Jesse Agler does. Mudd does. We do. But no one is infallible to criticism, especially after, you know, you just got bodied. You had 27 innings in which you never led. Is that a fact? Is that right?
Yes.
You never led.
Against a team that opened the year on a major league record streak of never leading in a game for, what, 27 straight games, that they didn't have a single lead in any of those games or something?
For me, it's like,
or they trailed at least one time in all of those games, but they never trailed against the Padres.
We talk about how it's easier for the players to flush a game or a series and move on to the next. They have to. And we've heard that from players.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's how it works. And it's a lot easier for them to do it than us as fans.
Yeah.
But this doesn't sound like they're flushing. It sounds like they only flush it when it's bad. When it's good, it's like, we can't just keep going back to we won four series in a row.
It's a great point. Like,
well, it's okay, that was great then. It's bad now.
Like me telling my wife. But I took the garbage out in March, like a few times.
Right.
She's like, where was April? Where was May? Where you been?
What are you doing for me now?
Where is it? But I did. You don't remember?
We don't talk about when I took the garbage out 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, never want to bring that up. I remember that one time I did the dishes. Remember that? It's just that to me is a little bit of blind optimism. And I'll say this: this is a somewhat spicy take. Toxic positivity is still toxic. just like toxic negativity, I've got people on my timeline that are literally, like, they may be fine humans, but it's the most toxic BS I read every single day about every single play. But the toxic positivity is still toxic. And it that to me, when I hear this, it makes my eyes glaze over and I go, are we watching the same thing? You know, because you can't tell me that the sky's blue, that it's not blue. And I'm looking at it going, it's blue. We got outplayed. It's okay to say that. No, I feel like fans in general always want the truth. They don't really want to be bright-sided in that scenario.
I think just my opinion that Mike Shildt, and there are unreasonable baseball fans out there. You know,
there absolutely are.
And there are some of them in this audience right now.
They're all in my DMs and
who can't stand, you know, even the thought of one loss is like too much to bear.
End of the world.
And that's not how baseball works. But I think Mike Shildt needs to address, he needs to treat us all like we're adults and grown ups.
That's it.
Even if some of us aren't, he needs to treat us all like we are. And we understand that they won four straight series, and they've played some good baseball this year.
We talked and celebrated every single guttural scream time you win a game.
I think in return, we also have to accept the fact that players can be trying, and you know it doesn't work out sometimes. Doesn't mean that you're a big nobody if you go 0-for-4 in a game and ground into four, you know, two double plays.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean Manny has forgotten how to play baseball.
Correct.
Or he's not grinding to try to figure it out. We have to also accept that as fans and be reasonable about things. And then on the other hand, I think the team and the manager needs to treat us fans as though we do understand the difference between good play
and bad play
and not good play.
Well, and Paulie, that really, Paulie, is a very, very astute point you make. You just want us to flush the bad ones. You want us to not flush the good ones because
right.
they're done. Those wins, you've stacked a few wins, sure. And there are times I watch this team and go, we're lucky to win this many games. Then there's times I watch this team and I go, we should be winning a lot more games because you're so inconsistent.
We've got a little bit more for you
when we come back.
We got a lot more.
We'll play a little real or fake as well when we come back to start hour number two of Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. Listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.